Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Senior pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson welcome you and would like to invite you to go on a journey of changing the church, challenging the colleges, and charging into the community. The following message is from the series, The God of the Bible, and it's coming from Elder Kwesi Payne, and it's titled, Who I Am.
All right, so Nahum chapter 1, and I'll read for your hearing. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. And drieth, man, I'm a Trinidadian. I shouldn't have put all these THs. I should have used one. Anyway, he drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth him that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end to the place thereof, and the darkness shall pursue his enemy. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dried. There is one come out against thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now I will break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good, behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. For correlating scripture, I'm just going to read this one again in your hearing. John chapter 15, verses 1. The gospel according to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen? Zamar, you guys can be dismissed. Today, I've been tasked with speaking before you guys, and obviously, I've accepted the challenge. thus far, we've been speaking and we've been hearing, especially during Kingdom Hour, Pastor Lawrence has been preaching on a series called The God of the Bible. Everybody looked at me like, I don't know. Everybody had that face. It's a tough question. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So, Pastor Lawrence has been preaching on a series, The God of the Bible. And we've learned different things about God, yes? We've learned that God is our righteousness. We've learned that God is our peace. We learned that God is Jehovah Jireh. Yeah? Yes or no? Talk back to me, please. All right. Great. We've learned those things. Well, full sentences. Now, I've been tasked, and I believe God has been speaking to me. And we can put the title up, Deacon Montague. And I believe God has been saying to me, who am I? Who am I to you? Who am I? Almost like Jesus when he was meeting with his disciples. And he says, who do they say I am? Who do men say I am? Who do those outsiders, those strangers, those people that don't walk with me, don't sit with me, don't eat with me, except when I'm feeding them, who do they say I am? And all the disciples had answers. Some say you're Elijah. Some say some other prophet. Some say John the Baptist. Some say. And after they gave all those wrong answers that some say, Jesus turns and says, okay, who do you say I am? And I believe that God has put us and sat us under these teachings for as long as Pastor Lawrence has been going. I am God, your righteousness. I am the God of peace. I am the God of the Bible. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am, I am, I am. And now God says, okay, you've heard what I've told him to tell you I am. Who am I? So if I were to pass the mic, who would you say God is? No, that's a serious question. Who would you say God is? If I were to ask you, Kim Brock, who would you say God is? I am that I am. Who would you say God is, Sister Bernice? Who would you say God is? He's everything. Who would you say God is, Sheldon? My deliverer. Who would you say God is, Bumi, Minister Bumi? A waymaker. Kimberly, who would you say God is? Jehovah Rapha. Deacon Elect, who would you say God is? My peace. Elder Elect, who would you say God is? My protector. So we all have an individual thing that God has been to us because of our intimacy or our place with God. He has healed us. He's our Rapha. He's protected us. He's my protector. He's delivered us. He's my deliverer. He's been all of those things, so he's my everything. Yes? So now God has brought me to say, who am I? Who am I? The book of Nahum, quick introduction to the book of Nahum, because it's the book of Nahum and not many people have read it. I haven't read it in a little while. Huh? Didn't even know it was there, some people. All right, so the book of Nahum, if you want to make it more familiar to you, I would call it the book of Jonah, part 2. The book of Nahum is the book of Jonah, part 2. Everybody knows Jonah. I know Jonah from VeggieTales. So, you know, Jonah, and they were slapping people with fish, and God told Jonah, go tell the people, stop slapping the people with the fish. That's not cool. I don't like that. And they went, and Jonah says, God, those people are violent, and they slap people with fish. So he tried to go the other direction, and we all know what happened. The storm came, and they threw Jonah off the boat, and the big fish came and ate him, and he was in there with caterpillar. And everybody, if you don't have kids, you might know the Bible version where God told Jonah, God told Jonah, you know, go to Nineveh, Tell them to repent. I am coming to destroy the land. And God says to Jonah, Jonah says to God pretty much, surely you are a God that forgives. You are a God that forgives and delivers. And I don't really like them people, truth be told, because they are Israel's main enemy. So I'm going to go to Tarshish, even though you sent me to Nineveh. I'm going to go the opposite direction on this boat. Jonah gets on the boat, headed to Tarshish. The storm comes up. All right? The storm comes up. All the men start praying to all their idol gods, and Jonah's asleep. The captain wakes him up, gets thrown overboard because he confesses and all that stuff. So the book of Nahum is literally the book of Jonah part 2. Why is it the book of Jonah part 2? Because if you read the whole book, and it won't take you but about 7 minutes, not kidding. It literally will take you 7 minutes to read all 3 chapters. All right? So the book of Nahum is Jonah part 2 because somewhere after Jonah goes and Nineveh repents, Nineveh repented so hard, the king of Nineveh made the animals fast. How crazy is that? The animals, they were like, hey, we ain't doing nothing. No food. Like, the king made the animals fast. He was so bent on making sure he got right with this God of Israel, of people that he was afflicting, by the way. He made sure he was so right with Israel's God that he said, hey, nobody eating. No animals not eating. People not eating. Everybody fasted. And God forgave them. Jonah got angry, and God is just like I said. I knew you were going to forgive. How could you forgive these people? God had to teach him a quick lesson, sprout up a little tree, give him some shade. And then the next day, the tree was dead. And Jonah had the audacity to get mad because of the tree that came up overnight and died overnight. And God had to tell him, you're upset about a tree that you didn't even plant. These are thousands of people perishing. These are thousands of people that you want to see die. Well, somewhere between being forgiven in the book of Jonah, fast forward a couple years, actually exactly 100 years, or approximately 100, let me don't say exactly, I wasn't there, but approximately 100 years, Nineveh does a 180, and they go from walking with God again, they turn their back, and they're back to their violent ways, all right? So God has to send another prophet to them, Nahum, the Elkoshite, all right? So let's jump right into our points. Point number one, seeing that Nineveh was forgiven and all of that, point number one is really simple. It's really easy. God desires to save us all. God desires to save us all. Why is that so key? How is that key to understanding who God is? Or how is that key in understanding who am I? Because he is the God that wants to protect. But he doesn't just want to protect us on a daily basis. He wants to protect us on an eternal basis from that hell that was assigned to the devil and his angels. God desires to save us all. Put in your notes, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean. Let's focus on number 3. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. That's Christ talking to his disciples. God desires to save us all. He wants us all to come into the vine. We are all branches. We are all branches. And a branch without a vine to draw from dies. Put also in your notes Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. Every soul is mine. Every one. Every soul. Every one. Every soul is mine. Every soul is mine. He goes on to say, the soul that sins shall perish. All right? So let's not think that it's anything. Ezekiel chapter 18, behold, all souls are mine as the soul of the Father. So also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not may die. Not could die. It's a guarantee. The soul that sins will die. So God, in him saying, who am I? I am the God that desires to save us all. That should, at some point in you, put some kind of a burning sensation to make sure that if there's somebody you know not walking right, you should at least go let them know, hey, the God I serve, he desires to save us all. That should at least encourage you where somebody you know was walking with Christ and now turn and walk away, hey, the God I serve, he wants you back. He desires you back. He desires us all. That's some child who's just, goodness, at your school. When you see him, the only thing that comes to mind is goodness. Have mercy. Like, there are two kids in my school that I'm pretty sure that should be their names. Goodness and have mercy. Because when I see them, goodness. Goodness. Mm. Ooh. Oh, have mercy. Goodness, have mercy. Jesus. Go to class. You be teaching. Like, I'm sorry, sidebar. Teachers, anybody ever had a class you teaching? You really got into your teaching groove and some kid walked past your room? Hey! Goodness. Go to class. Go on. Leave. That's goodness. And then the other one, you never seen them in a class. You know they go to the school, but you never see them in a class because they're always in the hallway. That's have mercy. Have mercy. You're here again. We should now understand that God desires to save even them. Even them. And now we got to get that righteous indignation in us because not only does he desire to save them, God is able to save them. He's more than able to save them. He saved us. Like, I know we come here now and we all dressed up. We smell good. Some of us look good. But the reality of it is, if people really dug deep and found out our past, if people really knew where we came from, we were goodness and have mercy rolled in one. Let's be honest. Let's drop the mask. Let's stop the pretense. Let's stop putting on that sanctified fake you out look. The reality of it is, before we came to Christ, we were goodness and we were have mercy. And because God saw our goodness and because God did have mercy, he did save us. So the same way he can save us, he can save them. Let's just be honest. But what we have to do now as God's vessels in the earth is get that righteous indignation, just like that old lady that nagged us or that old man that kept pulling us up when we were walking crazy. Somebody had to do it for us. Why don't we want to do it for them? And I know I'm talking to y'all, but I'm talking to me. What is it that we're scared of? Why are we so quick and willing to class people as unsaved, unsavable? If everybody did that for us, we wouldn't have been sitting in these seats. That's just the reality of it. Point number one, God desires to save us all. So when someone asks you from this point forward, or when you hear that still small voice in your shower saying, who I am, you are a God that saves. You are a God that saves. Point number two, rest assured in our salvation. But, and I stole this little piece here from from Dr. Michael Youssef. I liked him. I used to listen to him real often. So, rest assured in our salvation, but not our blessed assurance. Let it soak. Rest assured in our salvation, but not in our blessed assurance. See, because oftentimes, Elder Natara, we get saved and we know the mess that we came out of, and we did as the Apostle Paul tells us, to let every man work out his soul salvation with fear and trembling. So we're working at our saving, and we're working at staying saved. And we're so busy working on staying saved that somebody's caught on fire behind us, and we don't even see him because we're working hard at staying saved. We're working hard at staying saved. Somebody's on fire behind us needing salvation. We can't become so comfortable in our salvation. Here's the other piece of it. We work so hard at becoming saved that now we've gotten to a point that we know for certain that we are saved. And like Dr. Michael Youssef says, we rest on our blessed assurance. I'm saved. I'm good. And here's how you know when you get to that point in life. You know when you get to that point in life because after a while, one of your key phrases when something comes up in church or when you hear somebody saying something about something their church is doing, you don't take all that. You don't take all that. Why are we doing all that? Man, we gotta go to the Carolinas. You don't take all that. Why we gotta do all that? We gotta go feed the homeless under the bridge. You don't take all that. We gotta meet every what? 4 o'clock in the morning to pray? I'll just pray from home. You don't take all that. You don't take all that. Why is it gonna take what? Fasting? What? I'm hungry. Jesus be a sandwich. What? It don't take all that. It don't take all that. That's usually a catchphrase when you start resting on your blessed assurance. It don't take all that. Why are we doing all that for? Why are we fasting? It don't take all that. Why are we waking up at 4 in the morning and coming out to the church? It's one thing if Pastor had said, conference call 4 in the morning, because you know you're just going to wake up, dial the number, and just lay there. Every now and again you go, amen. Amen. But when you got to come out here, and then when you come here, you can't just come and sit. You got to press, and you got to really pray. And then after that, he going to ask you what God said to you? What? It won't take all that. It won't take all that. We don't need all that. Come on. That's when we're resting on our blessed assurance.
You've just heard a message on Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or you know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to order the full-length message. We hope you are encouraged to live the victorious life. And remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.